Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well.
Good.
We're going to work hard at trying to stop a war or two.
Good.
I always thought that's what our job was in the early part of this century, was how do we stop this war that we know that is coming?
Yeah.
But it came anyway, and, you know. Right now, there's things on the horizon. The lies are flowing. And we have to sort them out. Are they serious? And yesterday, and we mentioned in our program yesterday about the sentiments being passed out, lies about all of a sudden we have found out that we really have to go after Iran because they're helping Al Qaeda, and you know that's a violation. Because first thing is anything terrorist, we have to attack it. And also, they have used the authority to use military force for a long time
yeah.
in the wrong way. And some people think we should repeal that, which would be a good idea. Even though, what I think needs repealed is lawlessness,
yeah.
because you know so often the law and the Constitution is irrelevant. But we've mentioned quite a bit in the last week or two, you know, about Venezuela and the threats that have been thrown at them, and it is still a serious problem. I mean, it's probably not going to be if we go in with military force. It's not going to be like Panama.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one where there's a threat. But the one that we want to talk about a little bit more today is a shift in policy, not the antagonism toward Iran, but there's been several votes in Congress on the military appropriations where they have explicitly said don't use any of this money to invade Iran, this
yeah.
sort of thing. There was a sentiment expressed by the Congress. The American people, they have no reason to believe the American people say, hey, let's go have a war with Iran. That's the last thing they think we need. But there has to be the introduction of a real reason. And after 9/11, they had to have a reason to go in Iraq, and they had to tell lies. Even Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and there was no al-Qaeda. It just seems to me that when we go into a country where there are lies and there's no Iraq, no al-Qaeda, they usually end up with al-Qaeda after we get there. So this is what they're saying, and the suspicion is now that since they've started broadcasting this, that the Iranian government's working with al-Qaeda, which is virtually impossible. Nobody remembers the fact that Iran actually offered to help us after 9/11. But anyway, you know, propaganda is propaganda, and I remember when they talked about going into Iraq, the sentiment was anti-war. And then when the lies build up and the lies build up, the killing of babies and all this sort of thing. So I think this is what is starting because, unfortunately, the one area where Trump has been very consistent is his animosity toward Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope he doesn't have the lack of sensibility and goes ahead and use military force. But sometimes we realize, if you look at it, that he might not be totally in charge because he has three of his top people, the State Department, and are a neocon.
Yeah.
So it is up for grabs. That's why we can't ignore this and say, forget about it. They're not going to do it. They're not that stupid. But we should be concerned about it. And hopefully the sentiment of the American people, which I believe is anti-war, that should prevail and not support the neocons.
Well, you know, it's so preposterous. It so tracks with the lies that were used to justify the attack on Iraq in 2002. Remember, they said Saddam and al-Qaeda were working together to plot 9/11. A total pack of lies. And you think, how could they do the same thing again, the same script? Well, the reason is it's the same players. They're all back. Elliot Abrams, John Bolton. It's the same guys saying the same things. They just added an N instead of a Q and made it Iran. But the story we're talking about is a piece in the Washington Times that came out yesterday. And I think these kinds of pieces are floated out there to get the conversation going. They're essentially unsourced pieces. The main crux of the piece is that, despite the fact that Iran has been fighting al-Qaeda in Syria for 8 years, while U.S. weapons have been landing in the hands of al-Qaeda, actually they secretly have an alliance And because of this secret alliance between Al-Qaeda and Iran, we are justified legally in attacking Iran based on the 2001 authorization for military force. Here's what the article names. U.S. officials, of course, unnamed. They argue that a confluence, they realize it's preposterous, so they have to think of some crazy way of justifying it. A confluence of interests and a common enemy in the U.S. and its allies has brought a level of covert cooperation and coordination that has reached new heights.
But this challenges common sense. If they knew about the region, they would know the Shia Persians have no liking at all for the Al-Qaeda and that branch of
Sunni Islam.
No, you know, so it makes no sense that they're not going to do it. And yet they'll still pass this lie out, believing the American people will go along with it. Because I think they understand that there has to be support from the people or they'll be criticized. But they don't get criticized. Well, they get criticized after they blow it. But they wait a year or two and then they're back in business again promoting the same lie. But it all boils down to the fact that just everybody in Washington, whether they're neocons or conventional Republicans or Democrats, they have endorsed and they cling to the basic principle of interventionism, a foreign policy of intervention, and also the moral obligation that we have since we're a powerful nation to be involved. So that's always standing there. And then the only debate is, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys and who's going to benefit? So they have to line up support, the oil people, the religious people, and who knows what in order to get the support. But right now, with this article and with what's going on, it looks like Trump is moving in the direction, whether he wants to or not, he's moving in the direction of doing what he says they deserve, because he has been so strongly against, the Iranians. And that's why we all should be concerned.
Yeah. And, you know, as Tom and our guest yesterday pointed out, this is a long piece in The Washington Times. It gives a feeling of being authoritative because there are lots of hyperlinks, you know, and you think there's a lot of backing. Those hyperlinks are only self-referential back to previous Washington Times stories, totally unrelated. But here's the thing. The entire basis of this claim, the entire basis for the entire article is so incredibly flimsy, they actually even admit in the article that it's flimsy. Here's the basis. So after the U.S. attacked Afghanistan after 9/11, there were a group of Al-Qaeda fighters that fled into Iran to escape the attack. The Iranians seized them and held them. They've been held hostage since 2001 as kind of protection to not have Al-Qaeda carry out attacks against Iran. And even the article itself refers to them as, quote, bargaining ships. That's what these. So, yes, there are Al-Qaeda in Iran, but they're prisoners. They're being held hostage to keep Al-Qaeda out of Iran. But the State Department, of course, there's only one person quoted from the government. It's a State Department official, counterterrorism official, Nathan Sales. And he says, since 9/11, Iran has given sanctuary to Al-Qaeda fighters. Again, wrong. They're hostages. So I looked up Nathan Sales. Who is this guy? What's his story? He won an award for helping draft the Patriot Act. So he's the source that I would look for, you know, for truth and freedom.
But to me, it's impressive that they want this enemy in order to justify the invasion that they'd like to perform. And so, therefore, the authority will come from the authority to use military force passed in 2001. And yet, you know, these authorities that they have, it's been abused ever since. You know, it was authority to go after the people that committed, you know, the bad guys that committed 9/11.
Yeah.
But now, how many times, I wonder if anybody's ever studied, how many times have they used it or inferred? Yeah. You know, it's used constantly and constantly. So some people think, well, and there's a move on, and if it was up, they should repeal it. But really, does it make a difference to them? They know, they had this Bolin Amendment in the Iran-Contra, And it didn't make a difference. It was explicit. They couldn't do that. And we were selling weapons like crazy to the Iranian. And they were bad guys back then even. And at the same time, we were fighting and transferring funds into Nicaragua against the explicit prohibition by the Congress. I mean, it shouldn't have been done anyway because of the way the Constitution is written. But they had the Constitution to contend with. At the same time, they had the Boland Amendment. It was explicit. And in a way, this is a little bit similar because the Congress has expressed a desire not to go to war in Iran. And the money shouldn't be used for that. But that won't stop them. That's the whole thing. They don't look at a Constitution. Why would they look at some amendment? So it's good to bring it up. And hopefully it'll be, helpful in letting the people understand what's going on. But they have to realize that if they don't want to obey law nor the Constitution, they're not going to do it. They're going to think up something else. And if they can't just go ahead and do it, and they have to get the public more on their side, that's when the propaganda starts, because that's what we witness in the Iraq War. The propaganda has to be there, and I think that this is what you're starting to see now. Is the propaganda is coming up and say, these guys are bad guys because look at them. They're fighting the Saudis in Yemen, and they were all over Syria, and they're about to conquer the whole Middle East, and we have to do something about this. Opposition is building.
It's funny you bring up the Iran-Contra as an example of something that happened previously, because there again we have Elliot Abrams, his fingerprints were all over it, and now he's back. But we can ask ourselves, why is this happening? Why is this total steaming pack of lies being printed in the Washington Times this week of all times? You know, there's a lot of anti-Iran propaganda, but why this week? And I think it really relates to this failed Warsaw summit last week. The U.S. administration, the Trump administration, the neocons in the Trump administration put everything into this. It's basically a let's attack Iran summit. And they sent the A-team. They sent Pence. They sent Pompeo. They sent their top people. They expected to go there and meet the A-team from all the other countries, ministerial level meeting. And what happened? The European countries sent the B-team or the C-team. They sent lower level people. The only person that showed up from the A-team was Netanyahu, who slipped and said, we're planning a war with Iran. Everyone said, shut up. He would use a different word. So this is what happened. It was a total failure, this Let's Get Iran summit. In fact, the final communique that all of the attendees agreed on, the final communique, to the embarrassment of the State Department, did not even include the word Iran. So total failure. I think that explains why you're seeing such a preposterous piece of work coming out afterward.
Try to compensate. You know, we mention so often about hearing the lies to get us into war. But, you know, the lies in the atmosphere also has another strongly negative effect, and that is the attack on civil liberties at home. Just think about what came out of all this was the Patriot Act and the FISA courts. Just think of how the abuse is going on right now on these search warrants. And that's not directly related, but indirectly it's related to this abuse. And subtly it's saying, you know, there's bad guys out there. We have to spy on it. And I think after 9/11, they went after the enemy, but it looked like the people of this country, the citizens of this country, must have been the enemy, because they're the ones who've suffered the most. They suffered the most by loss of privacy. They suffered the most. Many lost their lives. Many got wounded. And we had to pay for it. So it was hardly a fight against Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, and we talked about this a lot in Syria, was handy. Yeah. It turned out handy for us to keep it going, you know, that we can't give up. And it got to the point now where even when Trump says the 2,000 troops there, I'm going to bring them home, well, they're still there, you know. So it's not an easy battle. It almost suggests that there's some sinister group of people, and it could be it's the deep state or something, that behind the lines, they're pulling the strings.
And speaking of Iran lies, you know, in a recent speech, Trump slammed Iran for, quote, threats of genocide against the Jewish people, end quote, which of course would get people upset. And actually, Pence said the same thing in Warsaw. He's threatening genocide against the Jewish people. How is it then that Iran has the second largest Jewish population after Israel in the Middle East? You know, how is that possible if they're threatening genocide? What they're trying to do is conflate Iran's opposition to the state of Israel's policies and foreign policies with a blanket hatred of wanting to kill all Jewish people, which obviously if they did, they would take the people out from their own country before they would go and fire missiles in another country. So, again, it's just war lies.
No, that is it. But the effort to change this is the difficult job, something we've been trying to do. But I am still not discouraged to the point of saying, let's just forget about it. Let's just throw this away. Nobody's listening. But I am more convinced than ever as I travel around and talk to a lot of people that the sentiment in this country is strongly anti-war. And I always make the point, you know, when does it happen that young people, late teenagers and early 20s, they get together and they go over to another country and meet up with young teenagers and say, hey, let's have a war. Let's fight and kill each other. And they have nothing against each other. They probably would rather play music or something together. But that is what is orchestrated. That is what governments do. And it's so evil because, you know, there's so much power behind the money. The military-industrial complex has so much influence that anytime there's a hint of peace, all of a sudden you hear about it.
Exactly. Well, you know, this is so preposterous. It's such a page taken out of 2002. You might think, how is this going to work? Americans aren't going to swallow this. It's so insane. It's so crazy. The sad thing is it may well work. And one of the reasons is because the mainstream media is always in favor of war. Always. Whenever there's war talk, they're right behind it. They're all for it. Libya, Syria, on and on. They're always for the war. It's up to alternative media, independent media, to try to bring out the truth. And we talk about this a lot on our channel here, to bring out the truth. The problem is the mainstream media doesn't like that. And the mainstream media works a lot with the government and government agencies to try to suppress independent voices in the media. So this is another problem that we face. So the key is just to not believe the mainstream media for first and to seek out and support sources of alternative media.
We frequently hear, you know, try to theorize exactly what motivates our president in trying to understand him and what to expect because it's so important. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt was known to say that he would speak softly but carry a big stick. So that was a very popular statement because nobody wanted America to look like wimps. But I'm just wondering if Trump might not have a different philosophy, and it wouldn't be the worst in the world. And this is a pure theory on my part. Maybe Trump wants to speak loudly and carry a soft stick, and that would be better than happen. But because so far he has spoken very loudly, drops big bombs, and he's always threatening somebody. And then sometimes he switches, and they become his best friends, which is okay. So I don't know if there's even a philosophy where somebody might take it up and say, I'm going to speak strongly and scare them, put on sanctions, but I'm not going to start a war because I don't like war, and I will have a soft stick. Well, that's just a theory, and the only thing that I consider more serious is why don't we have more people in this country, people leaving our universities, people going into government, people running for Congress, why aren't they more concerned about obeying the law, which is the Constitution, and come around to understanding that, strictly speaking, the Constitution means that we should have a non-interventionist foreign policy. We shouldn't be invading other countries. We don't have a moral obligation to do it. It doesn't work. It costs a lot of money and leads to trouble. So there's all these reasons why we should reject this, and I think we're going to have an opportunity because Daniel made some comments today showing that things aren't going real well for our opposition, and that's going to give us an opportunity because if the European Union breaks up and we continue to get weaker financially, there's going to be an opportunity for us to reassess our values and maybe move in the direction of non-intervention, not only in foreign policy, but economic policy and non-intervention in the personal lives of all Americans. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.